from the South Carolina State Museum, right here, standing right here in front of this huge 1926 telescope. I am here with Tut Underwood. He is in charge of public relations for the museum. We are going to have a tour of the museum. And Tut, I know you are just thrilled to have this project come together.
Absolutely. And we are so excited. After almost 18 years since the idea first sprang up, we have been planning and building and gathering money mostly. And about a year and a half ago, we started the construction. And here we are, 3 days from the grand opening of Windows to New Worlds. It's incredible. We've got an observatory, a planetarium, and a 4D theater, plus other ancillary spaces. And it's just something that, you know, has grown in importance and grown in our minds and grown in our hearts. And we're just excited because we know that people are going to come in here and just be overwhelmed at the things this thing can offer as far as education, number one, tourism, number two, culture and recreation, number three, and it's just going to be a thrill. And we're just almost beside ourselves.
You're speechless, aren't you?
I'm so beside myself, I'm almost twins.
Almost twins. Well, I know we're right out here in the observatory.
Right.
Yes. This telescope right here is from 1926.
Right.
And what can you tell us about the telescope? You were telling me before we went on the air that they haven't done the lenses any better than they did in 1926.
That's right. It's an Alvin Clark telescope. It was made in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Alvin Clark was the finest lens grinder in all of history. They aren't making lenses today that are anywhere close to what he was doing 150 years ago. And this 12 and 3/8 inch lens, which is a big lens, although he did make them even bigger, will be able to see thousands of light years into space. You know how far a light year is?
How far is it?
It's about 6 trillion miles, and we'll be able to see thousands times 6 trillion into space.
We can almost compare that to the debt then, can't we?
Yeah.
Trillions.
Oh, yes, unfortunately. But we won't get into that now because this is a happy time and a happy show, and this telescope is just going to just make people's jaws drop when they look through this and see Saturn or Pluto or Mars close up, or even further outside our solar system, the stars that are light years away, some of them that might have even died millions of years ago, and it took so that long for the light to reach Earth. And also, they'll be able to see the sun. We have a smaller telescope attached to the barrel of the big one. I call this Big John because it is a gigantic telescope. And we will be able to let people look through. The solar telescope's got a filter on it, so it will not blind you, and you can look right at the sun to see the flares and the sunspots and other anomalies on the surface of the sun. Also, we can put it on screen. We have a camera right now attached to the solar telescope, and a little while ago, on a big flat screen here in the observatory, our observatory manager, Matthew Whitehouse, was showing us a picture of the sun live from this camera, and we'll be able to do that. And the really exciting thing, and for education, is not only will school classes be able to come here and use this telescope and these other telescopes and have a brand new classroom right beside it looking through a glass wall into the observatory, they'll be able to learn lessons about outer space and space science and astronomy before they come use the telescope or after they come use the telescope. But that's even better because we'll be able to send pictures from the telescope over the Internet live into every public school classroom in South Carolina. And even more.
And there's more.
And there's more, folks. We will be able, the students themselves will be able to control our telescope by remote control, and they can turn it over here, say, if Mrs. Jones's class in Oconee County wants to see the sunspots on the sun, her class can turn it through the Internet to the sun, and they can study the sun at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, at 2:30 in the afternoon, Mrs. Smith's class in Beaufort County wants to see the early rising of the moon. They can turn it over and watch the moon. So it's just amazing what this is going to do for education, for science. You know, there's so much emphasis these days on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, and this is going to be a quantum leap forward for South Carolina students to be able to study the stars and the planets and the universe like they never have before.
What do you think it's going to do for our kids as they peer into this in the future?
I think it's going to light up some eyes, and I hope it's going to light up some brains that will, in the future, turn to astronomy or space science or engineering or math or something like this so that we will produce more scientists in the future. And a good example of how a museum can do this is our own Charles Towns of Greenville, South Carolina. When he was a boy growing up in Greenville, there was no museum in Greenville, and there was no museum in Columbia, but there was the Charleston Museum, and his parents took him to the Charleston Museum, and he was always a very bright, inquisitive child, but when he visited the Charleston Museum, that really set him on fire, and discovery was his mantra from then on, practically, and he became a scientist, a physicist, and of course, he ended up inventing the laser and winning the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1964, which sits on our wall here in the State Museum because he was generous enough to give us that and all his other scientific prizes, and he won just about everything there was to win. He's a genius. He's still alive at age 99. About 2 weeks ago turned 99 in his home out in California, and I understand he still works every day, has somebody drive him to the office. And it's probably that inquisitive mind, that fertile mind, that probably has caused him to live this long because it's given him purpose and kept him sharp. And that keeps you, you know, when you're mentally healthy, you can help your physical health.
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask was where did this telescope come from?
It came from New York City, Columbia.
New York City!
New York City, that's right. Columbia University, and they were taking apart their observatory. I don't know why, but I'm sure glad they did. And we were able to get this magnificent instrument practically for the price of just shipping it here. We were so lucky because of the influence of our own Bob Ariel here in Columbia, who has been an avid collector since he was a child of astronomy books and materials and telescopes and lenses and things like this. And he helped us talk Columbia University into giving us this.
Well, what better place from Columbia University to Columbia, South Carolina?
Exactly, exactly. And speaking of Columbia, South Carolina, you know, our facility here now, when we open it all this Saturday at 9 o'clock, folks, be here, will house, of course, this wonderful, the Boeing Observatory, the Blue Cross Blue Shield 4D, Planetarium, and the Solomon Jackson Jr. 4D Theater. So 4D Planetarium Observatory under one roof at what is already the Southeast's largest and most comprehensive museum. There is no other museum in the United States of America that has this combination. We are unique in the nation.
How did this happen, Tut? I mean, I'm telling you, that is phenomenal for South Carolina.
It was just vision, you know, when the people that came up with this idea in 1996, and it really originated when the Columbia Museum of Art and Science was over on Taylor Street. It moved to Main Street, and they wanted to concentrate on art, so they were dropping their science. They had a small the planetarium, and they gave us their equipment saying, we'll give you this if you will open observatory. I mean, planetarium. Keep getting confused. Forgive me. It's been a long day. I got up at 3:15 this morning to be here with some live telecast this morning. But anyway, and we're back on with the live
telecast. We're on radio. We're on the radio.
That's right. And so the idea came about that we should eventually build a planetarium, and then the natural kind of idea was, well, let's put an observatory along with it. And then, of course, the IMAX theaters were all the rage back then, and that was the original idea, but over time that morphed into a 4D theater. And so it just grew and grew, and people saw the potential in it, for the potential for education, for recreation, for tourism, and we got the support of the legislature through a lot of lobbying.
Got a lot of donations.
Yes, a lot of donations. This is a real partnership between the state. We've got local governments like the City of Columbia, Richland County, Lexington County, City of Forest Acres, corporate donors like Boeing and Blue Cross Blue Shield and others, and, of course, a lot of individual donors that have emptied their pockets and their hearts to build this for the future of their children. And it's going to be spectacular, and this will be a day that will be blessed by future generations when we build this thing and open this.
Well, and it was, what, $21
million? $23
million,
actually.
Yeah. Okay. And it's paid for.
Absolutely right. It's paid for. I mean, we've probably still scraping the last payments together, but, you know, it's for all practical purposes, it's paid for. But I don't want people to say, well, they don't need to give the museum anymore. I don't want to give you that impression because what we're doing, see, we're never stopping. And we are now, when we get this open, we're going to turn our attention to the original part of the museum and see what needs updating there and refreshing there, and we're going to start gathering funds again to do that and just keep it up and keep it going and reaching higher and higher and higher for the people of South Carolina, their guests.
Well, you know, I think the amazing thing is how many projects get started and they don't have all the funding. I remember when we were here a couple of years ago that you were talking about that the funding was pretty well in place. And that's what I think is phenomenal in today's world, to open something $23 million and have it basically paid for.
Right.
And, you know, you did get some help from the South Carolina legislature,
yeah.
But you said that was all you're going to ask for from them.
That's right. We said, if you will help us build this and give us one-time money, we won't come back and ask for positions to run it. We will do that ourselves. We will fund that ourselves. And so they agreed to do that. And it took still a long time because we suffered through a couple of economic downturns, as you know. And so, you know, slow getting the money in a piece here, a piece there, you know, a bit, you know, this year, and 3 years later a little bit more, and 2 years later a little bit more, that kind of thing. So we had to kind of piece it together, and patience paid off. And here we are today on the verge of opening this wonderful facility.
Well, it's great because school starts, most of them start next week. So can you imagine the kids in the science and being able to hook into this now?
Yes, we're going to hear, wow, a lot this fall and a lot next summer and spring, I mean, and deservedly so. This is something that the people of South Carolina, they've always been proud, I think, I hope they have, of the South Carolina State Museum. We're the repository of the state's culture and history and treasures, but this gives them even more to be proud of. I mean, a unique in the nation facility like this, a telescope like the Big John, I call him, the Alvin Clark Telescope, that can peer into space, deep space, and like no other in the Southeast, one of the finest telescopes in America, I'm sure. There's two or three that are bigger, but... you know, I was sitting. I really was sitting. I'll tell you a story. I was sitting in the planetarium the other
night. You're not excited, are you, Tom?
No, I'm about to bounce off the walls. And I was watching this presentation. We were in the planetarium a while ago. And I was saying, I am so proud of this state. I can't believe it. This is the kind of facility that one would expect to see in Washington, D.C. or New York or L.A.
Didn't you tell me the Smithsonian was down here and was jealous of your telescope collection?
Absolutely. They certainly were when we announced the donation 2 years ago of the Robert Ariel Collection of Historical Astronomy. Beautiful telescopes that he collected when he was a child. It was absolutely priceless. He split it between us and the USC Library. And Owen Gingrich, very well-known astronomer from the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, said, I am jealous of you because I'm in Boston, Massachusetts, which Cambridge is a suburb, you know, and I just live a couple of miles. I work a couple of miles from where these things were made, and you've got so many more in your collection than we do. We have 13 Alvin Clarksons. Collection. And there are many more very fine instruments in this collection, going back to 1730. So
doesn't the oldest one go back to Erskine College?
No, that was 1849. It's not the oldest one, but it is the oldest surviving telescope built for use in an observatory. So that was Erskine College in Due West, South Carolina. And Robert Ariel, once again, helped us out. He found it. He went after it. He cleaned it up because it would have been unused and taken apart and forgotten about. And he found it and dusted it off, cleaned it up. If there were some missing pieces, he taught himself to use a lathe and hand tool the missing pieces out of brass so that he could give it back to them, and they turned around and donated it to the museum. And it's on display now. And it's been on display, actually. It's one of our showpieces since we opened, but now it's in a new home up here with the other telescopes.
Well, it certainly is exciting, and one more thing we're going to mention before we hear a word from our sponsors, but people will be able to go out on the balcony out there, correct?
Absolutely.
And you'll have telescopes out there, and they can peer all across the city here, right?
That's right, and they can peer out in the sky as well. They can just step out on the balcony outside the observatory, and as a matter of fact, I want to say that they can do this because every Tuesday night from now on, we're going to be open until 8 o'clock in the evening so that they can come and look into the stars after hours and see a planetarium show as well and see a 4D theater show as well. But of course, when Big John gets cranked up and pointed at the night sky, it's a sight you won't want to miss. You'll be seeing Saturn, or you'll be seeing, you know, Pluto or Neptune or whatever you want to see, and whatever's visible in the night sky at that time. So it's going to be fantastic. People are really going to love it and appreciate the museum even more and appreciate what we have here in South Carolina.
Absolutely. Tuesday night will be the night to be here, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
So we are here from the South Carolina State Museum. We're standing out here under this huge telescope. It is just awesome. I know you're going to be excited to come down here. And the kids up there in Greenwood and Ware Shoals and Abbeville, you'll be able to see all this right from your classroom, right on the Internet. Although I do believe there is nothing like being here in person.
That's absolutely right. And I hope that everybody will come and take pride in this, because this is something, as I say, we can all be proud of, be excited about, and you just won't believe the transformation. It's about a 70,000-square-foot new addition of new and renovated space, about 45,000 new square feet and about 27,000 of renovated space, and it's fantastic. And we'll talk more about the rest of the facility in just a few minutes.
Absolutely. Lindsay, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We're going to go get in position, and we'll be back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are live right here from the South Carolina State Museum. We are standing right here with all this collection of telescopes. I tell you what, these are beautiful works of art. I have grabbed Tom Falvey and gotten him. He just took off his rubber glove, folks. He's been working hard here today. Tom, we talked and a couple of years ago. We looked at the collection. It had a small room. My God, what a difference.
Right. Well, yeah, we had that small exhibit when we announced the aerial collection formally being taken in at the museum. And now I don't think people had any idea there was this much. And this scale, they're massive.
And so what has been the best part of putting this all together for you, Tom, as you're coming to the end? I know there's a lot of little finish work to do, but what's been the best part for you?
I think, you know, when I think of Bob Ariel and his collecting, he always said he wanted it to be available to the people of South Carolina. That was his big thing. And, you know, to know that we're fulfilling his dream so that everyone in the world can see it. When I first met him, all of this was in a garage except for the few pieces that we had collected. That was back in 2000, I think, when I first saw him. And all of this was just everywhere, in his garage, in his attic, it was in his bedroom. I mean, you name it, it was everywhere. So, I mean, to know that now we actually are putting it in context and giving it really the kind of recognition it deserves for the kind of collection it is.
Well, and it looks like they've been refinished, and, I mean, they just look beautiful.
Yeah, there was a lot of conservation on some of these, and some were in beautiful and pristine shape. So, but, yeah, you can see that they're beautiful instruments. And Mr. Ariel never collected something unless he really, really wanted it, and that was usually something complete, something beautiful. And if it wasn't complete, there was something special about it, like this giant tripod behind you. That's one of the number 7 Clarks, and very few of those were made. And so the tube itself has no optics, no glass at all, but he didn't care because it was all about collecting the whole piece so that he could have the tripod.
Well, it is awesome. Now, how many telescopes are actually in the exhibit here now?
Oh, my goodness. We have 11 of these American on this riser alone. And, you know, you think 11 sounds really small until you get a sense of how big they all are.
Yeah, they're huge. I mean, some of them are they're taller than I am.
That's right. I mean, much taller, like twice or, you know, 2.5 times taller. And then on the other side right now, I think we have another 20 or so out, and maybe 25. And then over here, we're not quite finished yet, but I think when it's all said and done, we'll have about 50 telescopes in the gallery.
Well, 50 telescopes in the galaxy, and people will be able to, they won't be able to touch them, but they'll be able to observe them, and you'll have nice write-ups about all of them. Which one is, what do you particularly like?
That's a hard question. The you know, there's some that have stories related to them that Mr. Ariel told me, like that he used this lovely 1879 4-inch Clark specifically to observe Pluto from his backyard, right on the Forest Acres Columbia line. So at magnitude 13, which is incredibly dim. So if that's true, I'll have to take him at his word. That's a pretty impressive lens. And so I love the story. But then there's another here, a 1920 larger 5-inch that's over there. That Clark sat in a closet for 50 years and is really preserved. So you get a real sense of how well they. That you can see beautifully in that picture.
Now, Clark, make the very best that nobody else.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Right. I tell you what, we had a few technical difficulties, so we switched to the news. But the news will wait. It'll come back around at 5:30. We won't be on the air anymore. I'm here with Tom Falvey. We were talking about, before I think we had some technical difficulties, about how the Mr. Fitz would sit out on the in his home and look at, what were you telling us?
Oh, yeah, Alvin Clark. He would use his thumb and his bare thumb and jeweler's rouge to perfectly make a lens, so that all of the shape of the lens was so perfect that all of that light would meet at one focal point, which is the point of an excellent lens. So he would do that with his bare thumb. He called that local correction. And to do that without any tools or without any math knowledge or no real training or expertise is really amazing. So a lot of the early American folks were self-taught. They started in other careers and then they came and became telescope makers. And I think that's the other thing that makes all of this so special, is that a lot of these telescopes, almost all of them, were made by people who really were not trained to be, but learned on their own.
So how come we don't have better telescopes today, since we have all this knowledge, Tom?
Well, we do. You know, we don't make refractors anymore, glass lens telescopes. We make them, but we don't use them for research much anymore. You know, we found a lot of what we can find with that, as far as what's in the observable universe. And, of course, now we use radio telescopes and infrared and ultraviolet and all that. And so we're looking for other things. And it's a bunch of people sitting around computers, and some remote telescope feeds them a bunch of information. And it's not nearly as romantic and as beautiful. You know, they're functional and not nearly as wonderful.
Yeah, you know, you speak about romantic. You know, everybody always peered at the stars, didn't they? That was something that was just so neat. And that's what you can get by looking at these. You can actually think about the old days when people did, and they communicated, and they said, can you see that?
Yeah, and you know, and to be able to look through a telescope, and that's one thing, and you know, if you probably talked about in the observatory, it's amazing to step up to that eyepiece, and every single person who has ever gone up to an eyepiece, when I stood there, I said, for the first time, said, wow. And you know, when you see what is a dot to you and you think is a star, and you look through an eyepiece and you see the rings of Saturn or you see the moons of Jupiter, it's a transformative experience. And I think of Galileo, you know, and this is what Galileo saw, and people said, oh, he's made some kind of magic stick. It must be trickery.
Exactly. And look what we have here today. Well, I know you're excited. I know you need to get back to work. But this is an awesome, awesome place. And congratulations on having this all come together.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being here, Ann, because this is always great to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. All right. That's going to wrap it up for right here with the telescopes. Thanks so much. Tut, where are we going to go next?
Why don't we go down to the 4D theater, and then we'll see what's going on there.
Oh, is that where the Tingler is?
That's right. All kinds of special effects.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
As Kitty Wells once sang,
all records bring back memories.
That's what we do on From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. Classic Country Memories, 9 to 12 Saturday morning on 1450 AM and on the internet at WCRS1450AM.net.
Good old records bring back memories.
You know where we are now. We're down here at the South Carolina State Museum. We are ready to have a good time. We have now moved into the 4D theater here. Tut, this is a phenomenal place we're in.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to have a lot of thrills and chills in this auditorium here, a giant screen with 3D pictures and special effects in the seat. And our buddy Doug Zachary kind of runs all this. He's the king of this little empire, so he can tell us more about how this magic comes about.
All right. Well, Doug, you were explaining to us earlier you have all these special effects that make it 4D. So how has this been to learn all this?
Oh, there's a lot to learn because it's a very complicated system, because there's so many cool special effects. The more effects you have, of course, the more it is to learn.
Right.
But we like a lot of them.
Yeah. So what do you think is the coolest effect you've discovered so far?
Probably the coolest one is when the water sprays out on you, because people are not expecting it. It's kind of one of the first ones to happen. And when it does, it just kind of it startles everybody. And you see them all going, ah! You see the immediate reaction.
Now, how about the fact that you were telling me about some animal or some fish or something that sneezes, and that's when this water comes out and people think it's snot?
Yeah. Well, see, they were watching the film, and it's a regular 3D film, and what's happening is a little man will get stuck in the dinosaur's nose, and he blows him out. Now, your brain is thinking that is snot, but it's blowing water on you, and the idea is, oh, that wet stuff on me is really snot, not water. So,
and so you love to kind of freak people out. Now, you also can do different type of scents and everything, can't you? You can make it smell like hot chocolate.
That's right. Later on this year, during Christmas time, we'll have Polar Express running. And one of the things that's kind of neat about Polar Express, they serve hot chocolate in a very special way. And we'll smell some hot chocolate in here.
Mm. Now, I also remember being told about theaters where they would scare people by putting, what was it called, the tingler underneath the seats and scaring people. Do you have the same type of effect today?
We have something similar. It's called a leg whip, and it's a little thing under your seat. And when you sit down in the seat, it kind of activates it. And you may have, like we've got a scene in the film, where these carnivorous plants come up and wrap around your legs, and it'll pull you into the plant. And about that time, when you see the things wrap around the people's legs, you feel something down at your own feet. Ah, and you want to raise your feet up and get away from those things so they might pull you under the seat or something.
Now, one of the things you were explaining, which I thought was real interesting, if everybody in the theater has their is screaming or looking at their feet or whatever, and one person isn't, that tells you that seat isn't working, right?
Well, we think that might tell you a seat's working. You know, if they have two wooden legs, we wouldn't know. They may not feel it or something there. But, yeah, I guess that's one way we're going to use to kind of diagnose if there's something wrong with one of the chairs or not. There's, like I say, there's a lot of maintenance on that stuff.
Absolutely. Now, do you know, have any idea how much this theater cost?
You know, I have no idea what the figures cost. But after seeing all the equipment underneath where we're at and the equipment up in these catwalks and the projectors and everything back there, I'm sure it's a very expensive system. But you know what? If you sat in it, it's probably worth it. You know, it's fun.
Now, you'll be using this. What is the movie that's going to be playing now?
We're going to be running a little film. It's kind of a condensed version of Ice Age. You may have seen Ice Age, and this is the 3D version of Ice Age, but it's been condensed. But, of course, we have the effects on it. And what's kind of interesting, it's not a real long version or condensed version of Ice Age, but it's so exciting that it feels like it's been going on for 20, 30 minutes, something like that, even though it's really short.
So you're exhausted by the time you come out of here?
Yeah, you feel like you've seen so much going on, and you're so excited. This happened, and that happened, and that happened. And you go away with these memories thinking, wow, that was cool.
Well, that's great. Hey, you know, I certainly appreciate you taking time. Anything else you can tell us about that we haven't covered right here? I tried to remember everything you told us, but what else can you tell us about the theater here?
Well, right now we're going to be playing Ice Age up until time before Christmas and stuff, but we do have a couple other things that we're going to be playing. Of course, I told you during Christmas we're going to be playing Polar Express, which is kind of a Christmas film. And also we have some educational features and stuff like that. We have one called Pole to Pole, and you're kind of going across the whole planet Earth from pole to pole. And it's got an educational component to it. But it's also very entertaining, as you know, we all agree. There's a lot of entertainment value to it and a lot of educational value, so we call that edutainment, see. So,
you know, I think it's great. It has to have been a great learning curve for you, learning all about this and enjoying it, too.
Oh, yeah, it's been immersive and a lot of technical stuff to remember, but just to sit down and now understand how all this happens, it makes it pretty exciting, and I get a kick out of watching everybody's reaction to it. That's wonderful. And you know what? It hadn't grown old to me yet. I don't know how many times I have to see it until I think, oh, yeah, hum. So far, it's been just, I'm excited every time it runs.
I think that's terrific. And, of course, this Saturday is when all the action starts right here, too, right?
Yes, this Saturday we have our grand opening, along with the 4D theater. We have lots of other things like the planetarium and the observatory and, of course, regular museum and everything. We have a lot of things going on. So hope everybody comes out and have a wonderful time.
I know they will. Thank you so much, Doug, for taking some time. I know you've been playing with the computer and seeing all the things that how you can tingle and amaze people when they come.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you very much. Well, Tuck, where are we going to go next?
I think we'll go to the planetarium and see what's happening in there.
See if we can see some planets collide or something?
Yes, well, they won't collide. We've already been told they won't collide, but all kinds of special effects and things can take place in that arena as well. So we're going to have a lot of fun talking about the vastness of outer space to infinity and beyond.
Oh, that's right. To travel the galaxies beyond. We're going to do it right now. Hey, don't you go away. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. Boy, I tell you what, we're at the front entrance to the planetarium, and this is just, we were in there earlier. I understand they're playing a little Pink Floyd in there right now, so we're not going to go in and jam with the concert. But what do they do when they play Pink Floyd in there, Tut?
They will be having laser lights everywhere, all over the dome. Your sight will be totally encompassed because it's round. It's 360 degrees, and it's hard to describe, but there's a huge dome on which is projected from the outside all kinds of images. Different programs make different images, of course, and you're talking about the laser light shows, which will project all kinds of shapes and colors and things projected by laser lights, courtesy, of course, of our own Charles Towns of Greenville, who invented the laser.
Right.
Then, of course, we'll have wonderful educational programs in there, such as the one we're going to be running from the beginning called Seven Wonders, and it will discuss the seven wonders of the ancient world and then more.
And you'll actually feel like you're there, right?
Yes, absolutely. You'll be floating over the Colossus of Rhodes or the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It's just amazing what they could do to move you over and get you the feel of looking down on it from the air and from the ground and all that kind of thing. Of course, the only one of the original seven wonders of the world left is the Great Pyramid of Giza, because earthquakes destroyed most of the rest of them. But now they're talking about the possible listing of the seven wonders of outer space, and they give seven different nominees that might qualify, and some of them are nebula, one of them is, I think, the rings of Saturn, but there are star clusters thousands of light years away in other galaxies. It's just incredible, and they will take you there on a journey through space, and beautiful sound, narration by Sean Bean, the famous actor, who, by the way, played, among other things, Boromir in Lord of the Rings, and so that's going to be playing for a while, and we'll have a continuation of other great educational films and entertainment films and shows, laser light shows, things like this. And as well, we were in there when Liz Klimek,
computer at the planetarium.
Absolutely, thank you. You're finishing my sentence. It's a great way. That shows how well we know each other.
Right.
She was playing with the thing, and she can make up all kinds of programs on the spot to respond to questions from a school class. If they want to learn about Mars, she'll bring up Mars, and they'll turn it around and show
you
all.
You were asking questions when we were in there.
That's right.
And she was bringing all these things up. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting is she can go in and give you the place and the time and the date anytime in the past or going into the future, and how the sky will look. We went to Australia.
Yeah, January 1st, 1000, yes.
And we got to see how the sky looked then. That is pretty awesome.
It is, and she could call up the night sky, for example, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on July 4th, 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, or your birthday.
That's
You know, whenever, you know, December 7th, 1941, how it looked at Pearl Harbor or something like that. It's amazing. And she can talk about the different heavenly bodies. She can bring up planets, Mars or Pluto or Uranus or Neptune or anything, Earth, of course, and the moon and the different moons of Saturn, all the big giant planets.
What can we see? It was the rings of Saturn,
So the rings of Saturn and a couple of Jupiter's moons.
And those were ice.
Yes. Well, the rings of Saturn are ice, but the moons are solid. And the planet itself is gas. So how about that? Gas, solid, and ice. All there together. So
and she said the ice could be anywhere from the size of, I guess, the size of your fist to the size of a bus.
A bus, that's right. So
that's
just
huge awesome.
Chunks of ice and rock floating around, but it looks like these solid disks from here. But when you get up close and she can zoom in or zoom out and turn it upside down or tilt it and just give you all kinds of views of the different heavenly bodies and just take you anywhere in the universe practically you want to go and discuss this. It's just amazing. So you
she is a magician.
She is.
She
really is. And she can give you, you know, her own shows, her custom-made shows, or, like I say, the pre-programmed shows or the entertainment shows and laser light shows. Plus, in that space, we'll be able to have lectures or a small instrument groups or other films, 2D films about art, because this whole thing seems very scientific, and it is, but we can also put art films or natural history films or history films in there, and also we can see art around this because there's a beautiful, we can't quite see here, a mobile hanging
right
from the ceiling, so that's artistic, and right through this front window we're looking at is the gorgeous topiary art of Pearl Fryer, the self-taught topiary artist who's now nationally famous from Bishopville, whose backyard is now such a tourist attraction, people pull up to his backyard in buses to see what he's done, and he donated this beautiful tree and some other topiary work to the State Museum. As a matter of fact, when you come into the front door, come up the front steps, you will be surrounded by the topiary art of Pearl Fryer, a treasure here in South Carolina. So this whole
thing... Isn't it amazing how many treasures we have in South Carolina?
We do. We have Pearl Fryer. We have the three Charleses, Charles Bolden, Charles Duke, Charles Bolden Duke, and I'm leaving one out, Bolden Duke, and Towns, of course, and so many great people, Bob Ariel, who collected these telescopes, and many, many others.
And just some of the music, like Drink Small, from down there in Bishopville.
Yep. That's right, and so we have a real treasure here in our state, and the State Museum is the treasure house of South Carolina. We collect and preserve our heritage and culture, and we have a richer heritage than most states because we were one of the original 13 colonies. So now what was already the largest and most comprehensive museum in the Southeast has just gotten bigger and better. As of Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're opening Windows to New Worlds with the planetarium, the observatory, the theater. Brand new store, by the way, 40% bigger, wonderful shop, the Cotton Mill Exchange. Our cafe is back. We've got meeting spaces for people to have parties and anniversaries and receptions and all kinds of things, the lunchroom for the kids. So there's all kinds of new space, too, meeting spaces and rental spaces and the beautiful lobby with big artifacts in it for people to enjoy. It's just stunning what this project has blossomed into, and we're so proud and excited. We want everybody to be as proud and as excited as we are.
That's right. Now, cost to come to the museum with all these things. How much, can you get a ticket that lets you go everywhere, or how does it work?
Right. Well, you start with your basic admission. That's $8.95 for adults, $7.95 for seniors, and $6.95 for kids 3 to 12. And then there are add-ons. It gets a little complicated, but basically it's $5 for one extra add-on. Like you can add on the planetarium or 4D theater or a blockbuster. The first add-on is $5. The second one's only $3, and the third one's also only $3. So you can take
it. It's pretty cheap. It's pretty cheap.
The most an adult will pay will be $19.95 for everything. That's 4D, that's planetarium, that's blockbuster, and general admission.
And you could spend the day here easy.
Oh, easily. You could spend the day here before we even added all this stuff. But now you'll need a whole weekend, you know, if you really want to do it right. And so, yeah, it's a super deal. And, of course, you can join the members and make it even a better deal because you get free general admission every day. And so it's a fantastic place, and it has to be seen to be believed. If you haven't seen it, you need to come see it. If you have seen it, you need to come back because you haven't seen it all by any stretch of the imagination, because we have not only these wonderful new facilities back in the original part of the museum, we have changing exhibit galleries, four changing shows. We've got dinosaurs in here right now as our blockbuster. We've got Civil War art. We've got...
Take a break, Tut. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Okay, Tut, you can now continue. I just needed to say that here.
Okay,
all right.
I just want to get...
scare it away too much, but we've got a brand new art show opening Saturday called Building a Universe. It has to do with outer space and artist conceptions of space concepts, and so all kinds of things. And we've got South Carolina Unearthed, which is a wonderful exhibit of fossils from South Carolina. Some of them are millions of years old. Some of them are Ice Age fossils, which goes along with the theme, I guess, of the Ice Age movie in the 40 Theater. So all kinds of things. It's your museum. Come see it, enjoy it, be proud of it.
Absolutely. Well, Tuck, listen, I sure appreciate you taking the time. I know you are very, very busy, but taking the time so we could share this with everybody back at home.
It's my pleasure, and what can I say? I'm just almost speechless now that I've been talking for an hour, but I could always. There goes the closing announcement, so it's about time for us to wind down, but I'm so proud of this place, and again, I keep saying it and saying it. This is a place where you expect to see it in Washington or New York or London or L.A., but it's right here in Columbia, South Carolina, so we need to show the world, and we are showing the world what we've got here, but we need to come and enjoy it ourselves and take pride in, take possession and ownership of it, because we've got something really special here, right here in South Carolina.
One last thing, if people want to look up on the Internet, what's the address to check out the museum?
That's right, and as a matter of fact, we got a brand new website. It's scmuseum.org. So it's our name, just initials, scmuseum.org. Very simple, and you will see our brand-new website just up as of yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Well, how about that? I didn't even know that. How about that?
Yeah, all these other new things and a new website, too. I mean, just keep getting better and better and newer, and it's just so much fun to see it all grow and blossom because, you know, it's our home, and we love it, and we want to be here for everybody, and we are here for everybody.
Absolutely. So you got to come to the South Carolina Museum. It opens Saturday, 9 o'clock. It's going to be crowded down here, but it's going to be worth it. Caitlin's already told me she's got to come back this weekend and check it out, so maybe we'll get some stories for her. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here live at the museum, the South Carolina State Museum. Right here standing in front of this big orb. It's called the planetarium. Hey, that's going to do it for us. I sure hope you enjoyed our tour of the show. We will have a video posted on this and, of course, more audio. So this is WCRS right here in Greenwood, live from the South Carolina State Museum. Bye-bye, everybody.